This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. This year's Kennedy Center Honors include a list of high-profile artists who spent their lifetimes excelling at their craft. Here's how President Obama referred to the honorees at a ceremony at the White House.
Reverend Al Green, Patricia McBride, Lily Tomlin, Sting, Tom Hanks. Charm, soul, spirit, spunk. They've helped us better understand ourselves and each other. And as President Kennedy expressed, they've helped us center our purpose as a nation.
One of those names should have popped out for anyone who has lived in Charlotte during the past 18 years, or anyone lucky enough to be at any of the performances of the New York City Ballet, during which Patricia McBride graced the stage. This year's Kennedy Center Honors host, Stephen Colbert, described her this way.
A radiant child from New Jersey, whose rapturous love of dancing and fascinating rhythms earned her accolades as America's most exciting ballerina.
For 28 years, Patricia McBride held that title. When she retired from the stage, she and her husband, Jean-Pierre Bonfou, also one of the great dancers of our time, shifted their focus to teaching. Since 1996, they have been running the North Carolina Dance Theater, now called Charlotte Ballet. Although she's no longer in the spotlight and may go unnoticed at the Harris Teeter, her work has helped build this city's ballet company into something special, and her legacy as a performing artist has lingered long after that last curtain call. Emmy and Tony Award-winning actress Christine Baranski delivered the introduction to Patricia McBride segment of the Kennedy Center Honors and truly encapsulated what she has meant to dance in America.
This was the golden age of the New York City Ballet. Its company of principal dancers were like rock stars, and their jewel in the crown, or I should say their dazzling red ruby, was Patricia McBride. From her dark eyes and porcelain skin down to her impossibly pointed arch, she was the one in red, the one in pink, the one you could not take your eyes off of. Her dancing had the precocity of a carefree child, the ferocity of a linebacker, the elasticity of a rubber gumby, the lightness of a sparrow in flight. There was her blazing partnership with Edward Villella, but she also danced with the great Jacques d'Amboise and the legendary Mikhail Baryshnikov. She was the muse of two of the 20th century's greatest choreographers, George Balanchine and Jerome Robbins. All of these names are Kennedy Center honorees. Tonight, at long last, she joins their company.
And Patricia McBride joins our company for the hour. Welcome and congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've never spoken to a Kennedy Center honoree, I don't think, but there's a first time for everything. Thank you for doing the program.
Thank you. Well, I love your work, and it's wonderful to be with you again.
Great.
Alone this time, though.
You're usually here with Jean-Pierre.
Yes, I am.
The 37th Annual Kennedy Center Honors took place actually last week, but will air on CBS Television and on WBTV Channel 3 on December 30th at 9 p.m., and we want to thank Kennedy Center Honors Productions and producers George Stevens Jr. and Michael Stevens for allowing us to air portions of that upcoming broadcast before it even airs on their network on this program. So I want to thank them for that very much. How did you first hear that you were an honoree?
Well, we were away the summer we spent in Chautauqua. Mm-hmm. And on August 15th, I received something because my husband was away on a retreat for 10 days. And his assistant, Gretchen Jacks, brought me the memo, the email going to Jean-Pierre about this. And she came and she said, oh, you won't believe this. You have to see this. And so that's how I got it. I read the letter from the Kennedy Center and from Michael and George Stevens. And I wasn't allowed to tell any. That was the hardest part. It had to be a secret because it could not leak to the press or anything, because the Kennedy Center wants everything to be a surprise, which is very hard to do. It's very hard. That was the hardest part. But I nearly fell over. I was so ecstatic. I could not believe it. It's a dream come true.
Wow.
It doesn't get better than the Kennedy Center Honors for a dancer. You know, it's such a marvelous.
Why is that? Because your husband said that to Jean-Pierre, said there's no greater honor for a dancer in America than the Kennedy Center honors. Why is that?
Well, because they're honoring the arts, and that the dance is included in all the arts. You know, it's just an amazing thing. In my heart, I felt that there just can't be anything better at my stage, at my age, to get something like this. I've had other awards, but this is big. This is a giant.
Yeah.
You know, it's for actors, it's probably like the Academy Awards, the Oscar.
Wow. Jean-Pierre said that this is the highest reward, not award, the highest reward that a dancer can hope for. And he pointed out that it's not just for classical dancers. It goes to modern dancers, Broadway dancers, everyone. So you're in the company of people like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, Martha Graham, Twyla Tharp, George Balanchine, all of your famous dance partners, Edward Villella, Jacques d'Amboise, Mikhail Baryshnikov, just to name a few. That's rarefied air. Can you breathe?
No, it's marvelous. It's wonderful, too, because I loved and respected all those people who went before me. And I'm still pitching myself. Is this really true? This has happened.
You know, one of the things that people say about you and your dancers across the street say about you is how humble you are. And you told the PBS NewsHour that you could never have imagined being so honored. And yet, as we said, George Balanchine is among the very first nominees. Jerome Robbins, another choreographer with whom you worked and regularly did so, was an honoree in 1981. All the other nominees that I mentioned were Kennedy Center honorees that you worked with. You were the toast of the dance world with these people for decades. So why not you?
I haven't thought about it, but I'm very happy they decided on me.
Was there a nanosecond where you thought, well, it's about time?
But everybody's been saying that to me, and I'm just so ecstatic about this. Whatever timing is right, I'm so grateful for this honor, and I will cherish it forever. And I think the best, the most wonderful for me is that my children and our dancers could perform on the honoree.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because I know they keep things very secret, and they wanted you to keep your nomination secret, but they also keep secret from you what they're planning to do on the stage that night. When did you find out that your company would be on the stage that night?
Well, it's a secret, and you're not supposed to know.
But it's your company. It's got hard.
I had a hint. I had a little hint.
But you walked in on a rehearsal, didn't you?
But the whole planning of the evening was a surprise. I didn't know what dancers would be performing, I didn't know who was giving me the honor. Christine Baranski was amazing. I just was close to tears with the beautiful words she spoke.
Do you know her?
No, I don't. But
because in the part of the her presentation that we did not air, we were only allowed to air 2 minutes, and I want to tell you, we aired a minute and 54 seconds worth of audio. But in the part that we didn't air, she talks about going to Juilliard, where you, I think, were. At least the ballet company's school was located with George Balanchine. She talked about riding up the elevator with George Balanchine and some of the dancers who she said the actors referred to by a phrase that we will not use on the radio, and I suppose they'll bleep it on television. And then she talked about walking through Lincoln Center at night, going toward the ballet theater and trying to snag a ticket for the balcony, perhaps, so that she could see you dance. And that is where she saw you dance, from the balcony.
Yes. So,
but you don't know her.
Well, I know of her work. She's a marvelous actress, and I was just so thrilled. And we did have time to chat, and she was an extraordinary choice because they researched all. I didn't know, and they weren't good. So I was guessing. And I couldn't have had a better person representing me. It was beautiful what she said. They research these things and they find out who would be most suited to represent mm-hmm. the people.
Well, she made mention of the fact that she was a ballet dancer as a child, but that the elevator at Juilliard didn't let her off at that floor.
Life can be extraordinary.
Yes. One of the unique things, I think, about the Kennedy Center Honors, and they've been on the air for 37 years now, and I think I've seen every single one of them, is the fact that they bring together artists from various different walks of life, artistic life, and they're so widespread. I mean, you are in the company in this award this year with Sting, Tom Hanks, Lily Tomlin, and Al Green. Could there be five more different people in the world? What did you talk to them about?
It was so amazing. And I'm so respectful of the talent that they have and who they are, where they've come. And I feel like I know them because I've watched them perform. I was like such a fan of each and every one of them. And they're extraordinary, extraordinary human beings as well. Mm-hmm. Their families, we got our families together. We had time with brunches and time. And it was awesome to see how humble they were, how no ego, this incredible talent. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. It was just a delightful dream that I never expected in my life to meet Sting or Tom Hanks or Lily Tomlin or Al Green. What a thrill for me. And they were just warm, loving, fun, generous, and their families are wonderful. It was fantastic.
And you get together all the honorees every year, go to the White House.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful.
And meet the president. Is that where the actual physical award is given to you, at the White House by the president?
No, actually, we went to the State Department. John Kerry and his wife Teresa had hosted a dinner at the White House. And it was remarkable. And just, I had never been. I've been to the White House several times, but never to the State Department. The history and the just meeting so many wonderful people. This whole experience has been extraordinary. I've been showered with such love and warm wishes from everyone, people who know me, people who don't know me. It's been just an amazing time.
There's a wonderful video clip on YouTube of you in 1979 doing the Harlequin Pas de Deux for Jimmy Carter at the White House on a postage stamp. I'm not kidding. It's the size of this table, the stage.
Yes, it's.
And a very large, low-hanging chandelier.
Yes.
I'm wondering how you and Mikhail Brushnikov negotiated that chandelier.
You cope with it because it's such an amazing experience to dance for the president at the White House. It's remarkable, remarkable. I'd been several times for Richard Nixon with Edward Villella, and we did two pas de deux, and that was extraordinary. And we went to a state dinner before it and ate, and they said, tapped me on the shoulder, and they said, "You're going to dance in 20 minutes. But you wouldn't miss anything like that in one's life. It was a dream. And with President Jimmy Carter, it was wonderful, danced three pas de deux with Berezhnikov. It was Berezhnikov at the White House.
Wow.
But it was great.
Patricia McBride, our guest. She's a Kennedy Center honoree on a program that will air on December 30th on CBS television and WBTV locally at 9 p.m. that night. We'll come back with more in a moment. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Duke Energy, investing in local communities by funding science, technology, engineering, and math programs in schools. More information at duke-energy.com/4U. And Atrium Animal Hospital and Wellness Center, providing holistic animal health care for 18 years, offering pet parents a strategy to achieve and maintain furry family vitality. AtriumAnimalHospital.com. When it comes to food, the world's kind of a 50-50 place. Half the world has plenty of food. The other half is literally starving. Every 9 seconds, somewhere in the world, a child dies from malnutrition. And now some experts believe that malnutrition and the obesity epidemic in America are related. We'll hear from one of them and about an organization from Charlotte working to address severe malnutrition Monday at 9.
On the next, Diane Rehm showed the Friday News Roundup. CIA officials deny lying to Congress about interrogation practices. Lawmakers scrambled to avoid a government shutdown with a $1 trillion spending bill. And the NFL adopts a new personal conduct policy.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, listener-funded public radio.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Our guest today is Kennedy Center honoree Patricia McBride, who, along with Jean-Pierre Bonfou, are the artistic and associate artistic directors of Charlotte Ballet. They've been here for about 19 years, I want to say, building that ballet company into something very, very special. And because of her honor, for her years performing in the Georges Balanchine Company with the New York City Ballet, the Charlotte Ballet got to perform, and you will see them perform, in the Kennedy Center Honors on December 30th on WBTV Channel 3 and on CBS. Off the air, you were just talking about being there at the Kennedy Center and seeing all these famous people that you see on TV, and there they are. I mean, whether they're politicians or fellow artists, there they are. You are not 16 years old, and you have performed in some of the great theaters of the world as a highly regarded artist. Why is that a thrill for you? I mean, everybody knows you, and you know everybody, so why is that a thrill for you?
Well, I love the theater. I love stars of the politicians also. I watch them on TV. And to meet them is just thrilling. It was such a joy. People that I respect, to be able to talk to these people and realize that they have seen me dance. And it's just such an amazing life, and it continues.
When you're sitting there in the presidential box during the show, and you're sitting there with the other honorees and the president and Mrs. Obama, what's that like? I mean, do you think, my gosh, what am I doing here? Does it even go through your head? Do you actually take in what's happening on the stage, or are you just too overwhelmed?
I really did, and they told me it passes so quickly. Savor, people who have won this honor before, savor every moment because it flashes by so fast. So I tried to do that and just be in the now and enjoy. When they told me about it, they said, all you have to do is come here and enjoy. Enjoy what you're doing. You have nothing. You don't have to speak. You don't have to give a speech about anything. You just come and enjoy the celebration. Find a pretty dress and enjoy. And I certainly did. It was amazing.
Let's talk about how you got there on Saturday and Sunday night of last weekend, because this didn't happen overnight. This is a big deal. This is an entire lifetime of work and achievement. Is ballet something that you wanted to do, or did you just stumble into it because little girls back then all took dance?
Exactly. My mom had, I think someone had given me a pair of ballet slippers, and she just thought little girls at that time took dance. They took ballet. And she looked for a good school. She watched some recitals, so she would make sure that I would go to the right place.
She actually went to recitals?
She went to pick the best place, she and my grandmother. And she was such a... I just adored my mom. I respected her, loved her. She made so many sacrifices for myself and my brother.
Yeah, your father left the family when you were 3 years old.
Yes, that's right.
She became a secretary, an executive secretary, took care of you and your brother, took care of her mother for years, and found the money. I think I read that your ballet lessons cost 75 cents a lesson.
That's right.
Which
that's
was a
right.
lot of money.
In those days, it was. It was. But I loved my first teacher in where I was growing up, and probably I wouldn't. Ruth Vernon in Teaneck, and we did recitals every year, which I just adored. When I was 12, she asked me if I wanted to be a professional dancer, and I didn't know I could make a career and do that for a living. I just knew that I loved dance.
What did she see in you that made her ask that question?
I think she saw my passion and my love for dance, and she wanted the best for me, like my mom did.
Why did you love it?
And the music, the movement. I felt whole as a person. I felt I was doing something that I did really well. I was just so passionate, and I love the performing aspect, putting on a beautiful costume and being able to be different characters or different personalities.
When did you know, or did you ever really know, until George Balanchine said, "You're my principal dancer," that you were special? When did you know that you were good, and when did you know that you were special?
Well, I didn't really know. I just knew that I loved doing it, and I pushed myself. I had idols in dance that I would go and watch when I was a student at the School of American Ballet. Mm-hmm. And nobody said, "You're going to be a star one day." You all hope that, I hope that George Balanchine would love my dancing, and that he would see something special. And there was, when he started giving me roles after 1 year when I was 17, he choreographed a special dance in a large ballet where I was singled out. And I sort of had an inkling, but you're surrounded by beautiful dancers. My idols were dancing, and they were dancing next to me. And they were extraordinary role models. So I had no idea. I just knew I loved it. And
you've talked about the passion that you had for it, and that's what your first teacher recognized in you, and I guess provoked the question, would you like to do this professionally? And I guess she steered you toward the American Ballet School.
Well, we didn't know at that time. She didn't. I went to a smaller school first when I was 13, and when I was there, someone said to me that, "You look like a Balanchine dancer." And at 13, I had never seen a professional company dancing. I saw only television, what was out there on TV, and it was wonderful. So when I saw...
Fortunately, thanks to Ed Sullivan and others, back then there was ballet.
There was dance on TV, and it was wonderful. But when I saw, when I was 13, I saw the New York City Ballet, and I was just so moved. Serenade, Balanchine's great masterwork. The curtain rose, and it was magic from beginning to end. And I started dreaming about being in the New York City Ballet, if I'd be good enough. And I went. I was on a full scholarship. And I was there for 2 years. And I did an off-Broadway show also.
Really?
When I was a student. Yes, I sang and I danced.
What did you do?
It was called Come Play With Me with Lillian Montevecchi and Tom Poston. And Tamara Gieva, who was Mr. Balanchine's first wife, picked me out of the School of American Ballet when I was, I guess, I just turned 16. And it was before I was taken into the company. And I loved it. And then when I was doing Come Play With Me, that off-Broadway show, that's when Mr. George Balanchine invited me to join the corps de ballet of the New York City Ballet. And I stayed in the corps a year, and then I was a junior soloist, and the next year I was promoted to ballerina.
You talked about the passion that you had for this. Obviously you have a talent for it as well, but what else does it take to reach the level that you achieved as a dancer? It must take incredible work, dedication, and sacrifice. I mean, did most of your life go by the wayside in those first couple of years as you began to work with George Balanchine and this became the focus? Doesn't it have to become the focus of your life?
It was, and I didn't feel like I sacrificed anything because I was so moved, and I was so happy in what I was doing, and I was working with a genius. Not everyone works with a genius. I was awed by George Balanchine, the ballets that he made, the magic of the dance. I felt honored and just ecstatic. Well, not ecstatic, but I always felt so blessed to be doing what I loved, you know, and to be honored for what you can do what you love is one of the greatest things to experience it. So it never felt like work because I was doing something that I just absolutely adored. I was working with extraordinary people. George Balanchine was my mentor. He was my father image. He did so much for me. he discovered me and made me the ballerina that I was. He gave me a fantastic, I always used to say, a ballet is better than getting diamonds. It's such a gift to have a ballet that's made specially for you. And I've always felt such a blessing to have these gorgeous ballets made for me.
You know, when Hollywood has depicted dance, and particularly classical dance and ballerinas, it's usually in a situation where they're working with a psychopath or black swan.
Yes.
Or they themselves are so into what they're doing that they lose themselves in the dance. And that didn't happen to you. And you worked not only with George Balanchine, who you describe as a gem of a human being, but Jerome Robbins, who other people have had a great deal of difficulty with. He's been known to throw a temper tantrum or two and be really, really, really nasty to people and difficult to work with. You didn't have that difficulty, and in fact, I'm told that you laughed off his things, and that made him love you.
Well, I don't know, but it was an amazing thing to work with him. I had danced many of his ballets when he wasn't in the company. George Balanchine put me in all of his great works. So he came back to the company and did the dances at a gathering, one of the masterpieces of the 20th century. And he started with Edward Vallelin and myself. And it was so extraordinary to work with him because he was so different than working with George Balanchine. The process was awesome. And he was just, I loved working with him. I was coached to every detail. And the ballets were, it was such a beautiful meal having the two of them. You know, they developed different parts of who I was as a dancer. Of course, George Balanchine, I was 16, and he made me the ballerina, and he gave me extraordinary, the masterworks of his life and his works.
They say that with actors, if actors work with other good actors, or even actors who are better than they are, it raises their performance level. And if you work as an actor with a director who's really, really good, you become a better actor. At least you play that part in that production better than you might have with another director. Is the same true for dancers? Did George Balanchine and you, was there something going on between the two of you professionally that made the two of you perfect for each other, made you a better dancer?
Well, he would teach us class every day, so you would know what he wanted. To dance the Balanchine ballets, I think the classwork is really important. So I diligently tried to do exactly what he wanted. He would show me something, and I was awed by the beauty of how he would show me. So I immersed myself in trying to be how he showed me the movement and bringing it alive to the stage. But he would always let me be who I was. He didn't try to change me. He told me I had a God-given gift, and he brought everything that I had out. And also Jerome Robbins did. They work so, Mr. Balanchine worked so quickly at something. It was almost as fast as I could teach a dancer the same thing, the role. And then he would leave it to you to do what you wanted. The musicality had to be special, the energy. It had to be beautiful. You had to be feminine. But he just treasured each and every one of us, who we were. Mm-hmm. We were all different. And he'd say, I have a company full of beautiful ballerinas. They all different, like flowers are all beautiful in a different way. And I've always felt that he was proud of me, but also doubtful because I wanted to please him so much. We all danced for him. We all wanted his approval.
Yeah, you said that you and the company would have walked off a bridge if he told you to.
That's right. If he asked me to jump off of a bridge, I would do whatever he said. His trust was so, my trust in him and his trust in me was so amazing, and I had such respect for him.
Have you been able to duplicate that as a teacher with your
I tried my best because he was such a role model for me. He would never raise his voice. He was humble. He was such a genius. And I try to impart what he taught me, you know, the musicality, the beauty of the movement, giving 100%, trusting in yourself, to know that if you would try, falling down wasn't bad, because he'd say, try things. If you fall down, it means that you're really giving 100% and trying your best. Mm. And I've tried always to emulate that and to pass it on.
You said that he told you that he had a court of ballet, of beautiful ballerinas, each different from each other, but all very talented. You don't get to work at that level unless you're remarkably accomplished and talented. But when you began to emerge, this is a very competitive business, I would imagine. When you began to emerge as his ballerina, did that cause problems within the corps with other people that you had to
work? I wasn't aware of it. I really wasn't aware of any of that.
That's remarkable.
I had good.
How come Hollywood doesn't tell that story?
I know. I wish they would, because it's a ballet family. Although the New York City Ballet is a very large family,
yeah.
Not like our Charlotte Ballet, which is loving and.
Did you set goals for yourself? In other words, when he picked you out for that first dance within a ballet, did you say, I'm going to do this really well, and next season my goal is to do this, and then the following season I'm going to do this? Or did you just have did you have a goal at all? Did you want to be the prima ballerina of the New York City Ballet?
No, I let it all come to me, because Balanchine was really the star in our company. He was the revered one, and we all, I just love being a tool and to try to be the best of what he wanted of me.
When Christine Baranski said in her opening to your segment on the Kennedy Center Honors that make no mistake, you were there during the golden age of American ballet. Did you and the other dancers know that at the time?
We all knew Balanchine's genius was. I believe that for myself, it was the most important thing. In my life was pleasing George Balanchine and just making myself a tool for him.
Well,
to do that.
It's been said that he was dance in the 20th century.
He was, and he inspired legends of dancers. I think that you wanted to be the best. I didn't really look at other people. Yes, I admired so many dancers who influenced me, but I was really trying to be better of myself. I just tried to be the best of myself, not comparing myself to other people.
Kennedy Center honoree Patricia McBride. You'll be able to see that ceremony on television on December the 30th on CBS Television and WBTV Channel 3 at 9 o'clock. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Tyndall Subaru, Gastonia, the new Subaru 2015 Legacy with Subaru EyeSight driver assist technology. The Subaru Share the Love event through January 2nd. Details at TyndallSubaru.com. And Bragg Financial Advisors, supporting Catawba Lands Conservancy on its efforts to protect local land, natural resources, and our quality of life. Details at CatawbaLands.org. The weekly news roundup comes your way in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Reeves Show. In the National Hour, a panel of journalists talks about CIA officials denying lying to Congress about interrogation practices. Lawmakers scramble to avoid a government shutdown with a $1 trillion spending bill, and the NFL adopting a new personal conduct policy. That's the first hour of the International Hour, coming up an hour later. If you'd like to join our conversation with Patricia McBride, charlottetalks at WFAE.org will get you to us, as will looking or searching for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter, and we are coming right back.
Thanks to the generosity of WFAE listeners, 2014 has been another year filled with the best news on radio and online. With your help, we promise to continue that tradition in 2015. As the year ends, please make a tax-deductible gift to WFAE. Go to WFAE.org and contribute now.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Our very special guest today is Patricia McBride, who you probably have run into and didn't even realize it as you've gone around town, because for 18 years she's kind of been behind the scenes as a choreographer and a dance teacher at Charlotte Ballet, which used to be called the North Carolina Dance Theater, along with her husband Jean-Pierre Bonfou, who was also a celebrated dancer at that same time in that same ballet, in the New York City Ballet. But on the 30th of December, you will see her being honored at the Kennedy Center Honors, which is the highest achievement that an artist in this country, I believe, can achieve. You were talking a second ago off the air about how it is the audience who makes a dancer a star. That's a very humble thing to say, it seems.
It was wonderful. I guess it really gave me confidence as a dancer to receive such a wonderful, warm audiences throughout my career. It gave you a lot of confidence, and it was wonderful.
You know, we said a second ago that George Balanchine was dance in the 20th century. He was putting his mark on dance. He was changing
what
ballet was. So how difficult was that for young dancers who had, for instance, you had never seen, I don't think, a George Balanchine ballet before coming to him. How difficult was that to learn how to do what he wanted you to do, since he was changing what you probably had learned was the required style?
Well, he would teach us class every day, and he would dissect the technique, how we would do a glissade, how we would use our épaulement, which is the shoulders and head. And I was very sensitive to his teaching because it was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. The legwork, the foot had to be, you had to articulate your feet, use your feet and use your whole body when you dance. Have the freedom. He didn't want you to be stiff, and it had to flow from one movement to the other. Yet you had to be very strong technically, and you needed to have a lot of stamina to perform the Balanchine. They were very challenging ballets.
Yes.
Very, you know, you had to have lots of energy and stamina. And we worked 8 performances a week, and we would rehearse 5 hours a day. Every day for a 3-month season or a 2-month season.
And you rarely missed a performance. You were rarely ill. Is that because you're just lucky and you're very healthy and you never got injured? Or is it because you loved it so much that you'd work through the injuries, work through the illness?
I had very few serious injuries, and I had a miracle doctor that I would run to. The minute I felt a ping or something, he would take care of me. But I was very fortunate. That's why I lasted so long, because injuries can end a career.
Yes.
And it's hard to end a career. I decided I wanted to retire from dance when I wanted to, which was amazing that I could do that.
You lasted a very long time. A dancer's life is very short. And you retired in 1989, is
that's
that right?
That's right.
And I don't want to put an age on it, but it's in your bio, so I'm going to do it. But you retired at 46.
46. That's
right. 90 in dancer years. How did you do it?
Well, I was inspired every day of my life, and I was never bored doing what I love to do.
Then why retire? Why did you? What made you push that button?
I knew that I was 46. Well, actually, I was 47. I did a film of dance the last time. Mm-hmm. Peter Martins made a ballet for me, which they were filming in Copenhagen television, and I decided that I would, after going and retiring and going to the university with Jean-Pierre, I just knew that I wanted to be with Jean-Pierre because he had left New York City and started a new life teaching. It was very hard for the marriage, and I was my partners were getting young and younger and younger. When I was young, my partners were all older, and as I got older, they got younger and younger.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful, and I loved it. I loved my career. And
Let's talk about some of these partners, because you danced with some of the truly great male dancers in the history of dance. I mean, Mikhail Baryshnikov, Jacques d'Amboise, Edward Villela. Was that pure pleasure or pure pressure?
Oh, no pressure, no pressure. And of course I loved dancing with Jean-Pierre, my husband. It was very special. But it was George Balanchine who put me with Edward Villella and made glorious ballets on the two of us.
I want to talk about dancing with Jean-Pierre.
Yes.
He came to the New York City Ballet from the Paris Opera Ballet.
That's right.
Where he was the shining star.
That's right.
And he came to work with George Balanchine. And I'm told that on the evening of his debut with the New York City Ballet, the ballerina with whom he was supposed to dance was suddenly injured, and during the intermission, they threw you, even though I think you had a relationship with him at the time.
Yes, we did.
But you had never danced together.
That's right.
And in the intermission, they threw you backstage and said, "You're dancing with him, work on it."
Well, we had 5 minutes, actually. I came off of the ballet, the ballet that I was dancing in the evening, and they said, "Oh, Melissa has injured herself, going to have to do," and we had never even done a pirouette or a felt our balance. But I had done the Tchaikovsky pas de deux with so many different partners over the years. And so it was a pas de deux that I loved. And we rehearsed for 5 minutes, and it worked. And there he had his premiere with me dancing together. And it was.
But working with different
people. It worked well.
Working with different people is different for a dancer, isn't it? I mean,
it's
different.
The chemistry is different for each dancer I dance with. And it's reciprocal. You give and you take and you work. You work hard in rehearsals to make it special.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of hard work working with each partner to make it. And the rep that we did was so enormous that you could be rehearsing one ballet in the afternoon or several ballets, and you would perform something different at
night. How can you keep all that in your head?
Easy as a dancer. You learn from when you're a child, when you're 10 years old. You know, you learn that. It's part of, you learn classes. We don't do the same class every day, and you have to memorize all of the choreography,
mm-hmm.
or the choreography of the teacher that she, you know. So it's training from a very young age, and it's like it comes so naturally to us. I had to work really my mind with working the Balanchine ballets because he works so fast. And we did a lot of Stravinsky ballets where you have to count. And but it's part of a dancer's, what her responsibility is to catch what the choreographer has and to have it in your head so you can pass it on. And in those days, we didn't have tape recorders. We didn't have video that you could watch yourself. The minute it went from Balanchine's showing you, it was yours, and it was your responsibility to remember those steps and bring it to life. And it was wonderful.
You said that it kind of clicked with Jean-Pierre in the moment because it was a five-minute rehearsal period, and then off you were to the races.
Well, we're professionals,
But
we have to do that.
I understand that you've told other interviewers that dancing with him, dancing together, became more complicated as the time went on.
Well, when we first started out, but we learned to really work together, and it was wonderful. And I so treasured my time dancing with him, many different ballets.
Because I've read, and I know nothing about dance, and if you've ever seen me walk, you know I can't dance. But I read that ballerinas request of their male partners certain things to help them with what they have to execute. Because it really is on you.
Well, it's natural because no one knows how you feel if you're on balance but you.
Right.
So it's working together so the partners always find my balance, or they know how far I'm going to jump.
So is that more difficult when you have to say, no, I need you to do it this way?
Oh, I never demand. We work things out always. We always have a mutual respect for each other.
Uh-huh.
And if I can help speed up the process by saying, oh, could you push me a little more this way or a little more that way, or just to feel my balance I love rehearsals as much as I do the actual performances, because it's starting learning the steps together, and making the and magical, and so it works.
You're not the first person who has told me that. You did say in the break that when the audience applauds, that is the icing on the cake.
Yes, it's wonderful.
But the fact that you love rehearsals means you love the process. You just love doing what you're doing. And if the audience isn't there, it really doesn't matter to a certain degree because you're in the moment of what you're doing that you love.
Yes, but somehow there's nothing like applause and fan letters. It gives you a confidence. But if I'd say I miss something, it's moving. The movement and dancing to music was so inspiring. And just being in the now and just being able to express yourself and to be different characters. And what could be better in life, you know, doing what you were destined to do.
When you talk about applause, at your final performance with the New York City Ballet, June 1989, it was standing room only. They showered you at the end, at your curtain call, with 13,000 roses. I can't even imagine. Edward Villella and Mikhail Baryshnikov came out and each gave you a single pink rose and a kiss.
And all my partners. You're naming the most famous people that everyone knows about. But I danced with extraordinary artists as well as all of those great dancers at the end of my career. And it was so special.
Do you remember the
night? Yes, of course. And I have a video. If I ever want to pick myself up, I just put the video on. And what a magnificent last performance I had. Peter Martins, who was the director, my director for 6 years with the New York City Ballet, gave me a wonderful gift. And all I said to Peter was, he said, well, what would you like? And he surprised me with everything. But I said, I'd like all of my ballerinas on dancing, all the ballerinas who were with the company at the time. I had a very wonderful rapport with all the dancers, with all the ballerinas. I think we really respected one another. Mm-hmm. And they all were there dancing, all the ballets. And he made all the ballets that were choreographed for me were on the program. So all of those dancers were dancing. All the ballets were choreographed for me. And having, I danced four pas de deux or four pieces on the program. Mm-hmm. And I actually, it's so wonderful to have great partners for your careers. And there are not only three, I think I had 20 extraordinary partners.
Wow.
That I danced with through. The last performance was something I'll never forget. It was just such a high point. And I just was filled with happiness and joy at my retirement. Because I felt I was so fortunate to be able to dance at my retirement and be showered with such love and affection. And it went on forever, and I was just humbled by my fans and the people who loved me all those years. It was very emotional.
And thankfully, you didn't walk into the sunset because you're still involved in what you love to do. And now you're teaching, and you've been teaching for over 20 years. And here in Charlotte, I think for about 19 or so. And one of your dancers here in Charlotte told PBS that she grew up watching tapes of you dancing, that you were an inspiration to her, and you have, of course, recreated a lot of Georges Balanchine's dances in your classes. But you stress to your dancers not to imitate you, because they can see you on tape, but to do it themselves.
Yes, to be themselves is important.
It must be incredibly difficult because you are the pinnacle. You are the touchstone. Why wouldn't I want to be exactly like you?
Oh, no, you wouldn't want to do that. They are such extraordinary artists. With our ballerinas in our company are just amazing. They can do more than I did. You know, they can throw this up because they have the contemporary works are very different. You know, there's a modern influence. So they have to slide, roll on the floor, throw themselves on. It's very also athletic.
Mm-hmm.
It's more athletic today, the dancers of today. And I treasure each and every one working with them. I love passing on the Balanchine choreographies and the Balanchine works that I stage. That's my greatest joy. And seeing, I am inspired every time I come to see our performances. They inspire me. They keep me loving. They do. I'm so moved and touched by the greatness of them. You have no, I think people in Charlotte have no idea how extraordinary they are. And they are on a level with the New York City Ballet dancers. They are on a level on, I would put them anywhere, the personalities, the passion they have that you see on stage. You know, you were saying that I do not really choreograph. Well, I make the steps up when I teach in the class. And sometimes I like to do the musicality of the Balanchine choreography. I'll bring parts of them and I'll work them into what I have made of my class, because class has to really be a different every day. And to give them the gift, I'm so happy that Jean-Pierre says that he would like me to stage this ballet or that ballet. And I think the dancers here also grow and develop by the ballets that they dance, and they dance so beautifully.
We are honored to have you. We're lucky to have you and Jean-Pierre here, obviously, and the caliber of the dance that you have brought to Charlotte through Charlotte Ballet. But you've also lived a very happy life. You achieved everything you wanted to do as a dancer professionally, which has to be a wonderful thing. You've said you've looked back with no regrets, but you've stayed married for 41 years. You have children. You have grandchildren. And as Christine Baranski says in the Kennedy Center Honors on December 30th on CBS and WBTV, imagine an artist with a happy life. Thank you for the hour.
Thank you, Mike.